this week. The Middle Chamber Program. What is it? Where is it? And who can go? Brother Randy Sanders breaks down his first adventure to the North Carolina Middle Chamber Program in part one of a series covering his personal experiences. Then we'll ask the question, what will Masons of the future write about of the heroes of today in Freemasonry? Are there such heroes? And what can we talk about in Masonic publications that will quench the thirst of Masons looking for that spiritual wine? All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 559. I want to thank the producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners of the podcast for assisting us in bringing you and all of us Masonic education to all those interested in the royal art. If you're curious on how you can assist the WCY podcast bring Freemasonry and its kindred sciences to all those interested, head on over to our website, wcypodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and see how you can help. We have several tier levels for patrons, as well as subscribers via PayPal. And we've got a shop and a bookstore and all kinds of great ways to raise funds for this program, all of which come with a great feel-good and sometimes a little extra. MasonicCon Kansas is next week, you guys. It's going to be quite phenomenal. The episode for next week, we are doing a pre-recorded piece as well as a segment, which is a little bit longer, from Brother Patrick Day of the Masonic Mythbusters segment. Now, speaking of the Masonic Mythbusters segment, we had a lot of great feedback related to his last piece on Albert Pike. Not only did he give great context to his quotes from Albert Pike, but really, regardless of the way Brother Day felt about it, he very much included this idea of respecting the Freemason and all that Albert Pike has done for the fraternity outside of perhaps what was covered in that segment. Now, if you're curious, you can go back and check out that episode, which is number 558, called Practical Balance. Something else we need to mention is MasonicCon South. This is going to be happening in North Carolina. This is the first time there's been a large full-day education symposium of this kind happening in that area. Now, there are a ton of great speakers happening. Some of my favorites are coming out. Of course, there are a few guys from the Masonic Roundtable coming out. Joe Martinez, John Ruark, myself, Jason Richards, who I am super stoked about his new presentation. And you know what? That's not all. They're also going to have Brother Sean Bradshaw, past Grandmaster of North Carolina, come out and talk, as well as P.D. Newman. So if you're somebody out there who has really enjoyed the works of P.D. Newman, his books, Alchemically Stoned, Angels in Vermilion, and his several articles that he's published all over the place, then you're definitely going to want to come out to this event. Now, these events happen sporadically all around the country, so that brothers who didn't get a chance to go perhaps to California because they live on the East Coast, this is just another opportunity for great Masonic education happening on the East Coast. North Carolina, specifically, this is going to be happening at Greensboro Masonic Temple. And when? When will it be happening? October 15th, 2022. I'll be fresh out of my Grand Lodge sessions and a week later heading out toward Greensboro, North Carolina for this awesome event. Head on over to MasonicOnSouth.com. We'll have links in the show notes for this to get your tickets, check out the speakers. There's going to be vendors, the big festive board, the whole nine yards. It's going to be awesome. It's really largely put together by Brother Matthew Parker and some of his closest brothers and friends. I can't wait. It's going to be really fun and educational. Now, the first piece I wanted to read for you this week actually comes from Brother Randy Sanders. Now, we mentioned Brother Sean Bradshaw a few moments ago. Now, some of you may or may not know that Brother Sean Bradshaw and Brother Ben Wallace published a book, and it talks a little bit about their program, the Middle Chamber Program. It's an education series that's done out in North Carolina, and no other grand jurisdiction has come close to putting on anything like this. We had test groups come here in Illinois to put on this for us, a 3-year program in about 4 days, and it was intense, you guys. But I wanted to read this awesome first part in a short series of articles by Randy Sanders on the North Carolina Middle Chamber Education Series. So let's check this one out. The 2022 North Carolina Middle Chamber Education Series, My Own Hero's Journey in Masonic Education, Part 1 of 3, The Entered Apprentice. Instead of My Own Hero's Journey, I almost named this article an education trilogy in four parts, with a nod to my favorite percussionist and lyricist Neil Peart, rest in peace, of the rock band Rush. Neil wrote his Fear trilogy in four parts. Yes, that was purposeful. He also wrote the series backward, with the last song, Witch Hunt, on the Moving Pictures album, then progressing through Signals, The Enemy Within, and ending with Grace Under Pressure, The Weapon. By design, there was no intended fourth part. I associated my curriculum reading assignment with Neil's trilogy. I read the required reading material for the Middle Chamber Out of Order, with Brother Chuck Dunning's Contemplative Masonry well ahead of the other books, and I saw the second required movie, Life of Pi, many years prior to watching 12 Angry Men. I am forever grateful to the Course of Instructors for a couple of extremely rare favors granted in order for me to attend. The North Carolina Middle Chamber Education Program is sponsored by and through the Grand Lodge of North Carolina. Brothers Ben Wallace and Sean Bradshaw wrote A Path to Providence, the creation of the Middle Chamber Program, about their creation of the class, and I recommend it. The overall structure of the Middle Chamber is broken into three major courses, each consisting of an all-day Saturday class. The course requirements include reading five prescribed books by well-known Masonic authors and critically watching two films. I went with the full intention of working hard to learn the material and earn the blessing of the creators, Brother Ben and Sean. I intended to bring Middle Chamber to Missouri and teach it myself. I began this winter engaging my good friend and brother Matt Parker, who is the administrator slash facilitator for the Middle Chamber program. He is their backbone, who gets the media set up, prepared, sign-up sheets put out, hotel negotiations completed for discounts, and a whole lot more behind the scenes that you can imagine. Brother Matt assisted in my own out-of-state registration and kept me informed as to the hotel and schedule. In early spring, I made the decision to drive the 800 miles from St. Louis to Greensboro. It was a 12-hour drive in perfect conditions, and the Entered Apprentice session on a crisp, cool April weekend turned out to be a perfect drive. I left St. Louis Friday at about 4 a.m., and after a couple of stops for food and fuel, arrived at the Wyndham Garden in Greensboro not much after 5 p.m. Remember, there's an hour time difference. My drive was unknowingly well-timed both coming and going as I witnessed nature's splendor through Kentucky horse country about mid-morning and majestic West Virginia mountains in the afternoon before driving out of the mountains into the rolling forested hills of North Carolina. I checked into the hotel, got about 15-minute nap, then joined a dozen brothers at the hotel-attached sports bar for dinner. There may or may not have been a round of cigars and excellent scotch a bit later in the seating area by the hotel swimming pool. The cool temperatures precluded us from anything more than a good 90 minutes. The North Carolina brothers exceeded their amazing reputation for hospitality, as I immediately felt as if I were at home with all of them. After a quick hotel breakfast, we met at the Greensboro Masonic Temple, and I cannot do this temple justice in this short paper. It is a magnificent building, well-maintained and worthy of your time should you be in the area. The class began promptly, and with minor adjustments, we stuck to the schedule provided. The instructors are both crisp in knowledge and smooth in delivery, and they cycled through different sections with different instructors taking lead in different areas. They obviously enjoyed teaching. Immediately, the class bonded, and the energy was just electric, as we all knew why we were there. And together, we focused on that goal of learning. The Entered Apprentice class let out at about 4 p.m. with an hour of open Q&A following, and I went to dinner with another good friend and brother, Mark Bagley, who traveled a couple of hours to meet me for the class. We had a great dinner at a small local restaurant, and we went our separate ways, Mark leaving for his two-hour trip home and me back to the hotel. Many of you know I'm a note-taker, and I shared my notes with Brother Matt and Brother Ben Wallace as a courtesy. I was surprised by a phone call from Brother Ben that evening telling me how happy he was to receive such candid feedback. We stayed on the phone for over 2 hours talking through the class and many other topics. The feedback was all positive, with a few observations that I thought might be something I needed to keep in mind for my own classes. So I was surprised by the call. I decided to leave at about 4 a.m. Sunday morning and had a beautiful drive home through snow-capped mountains and a different perspective of the views I experienced on Friday. The 12 hours of driving seemed to fly by, as I spent much of the windshield time mentally reviewing the class content and wondering if I could do this material justice. Next part, being tested. Randy Sanders. I think Randy does a wonderful job here in talking about his journey to the class, the session, as it were. Descriptions of the drive certainly had me feeling like I was right there in the car with him. Now, I have been through the middle chamber program myself in some of its earlier renditions. At the time, there were 5 books and no films, and we saw all 3 parts of the program in just a short few days. We were testing it out to see if the brothers in Illinois would be receptive to what we were proposing, and we even had our grandmaster in attendance. We weren't able to kind of develop slash sway the middle chamber program for Illinois, but that doesn't stop this awesome program from being adopted and taught in other various ways and borrowed from. If you have any thoughts about attending such a practice as the middle chamber program, I highly recommend it. I think you will find it immensely rewarding and educational, and well worth your time and effort. I know there is going to be a middle chamber program here happening in Texas very soon. Brother Chuck Dunning is going to be there as well as Ben Wallace and Sean Bradshaw. I'm not sure on the process of getting on the list or attending, but certainly you can just search Facebook and find all the details there. If I find any, I certainly will share them in the show notes, but again, highly recommended. It's truly a unique Masonic education program, unlike anything else. Hence the kind of tautology of saying unique and unlike anything else. But anyway, I digress. Great job, Brother Randy. Next up, I'd like to read you a short piece that I wrote recently. It has not been published yet, however, it will be at a later date, but as usual, you all get the first listen. This one's called Shifting Pride. This last week, I received a stack of state-level Masonic magazines and the Northern Light, the ancient accepted Scottish rite for the Northern Masonic jurisdiction. It was amusing that I received a stack of them on the same day. After taking them out of the mailbox, I hopped in the car to run to the pharmacy. I had to pick up a prescription and decided to use the drive-thru. While I was waiting, I decided to check them out. It was a lengthy wait in line. As I went through the magazines, I noticed they were all very well put together. A substantial amount of great organizational news, grandmasters' messages, and spotlights on charity work. There were also a couple of other things that caught my attention. Well, maybe not directly. The Masonic education contained within these magazines was almost wholly historical information, celebrating charitable works of the past and telling stories about famed individuals like pioneers, doctors, philanthropists, actors, and more. I imagine any third party observing my page flipping saw me with what probably looked like the famed 1,000-yard stare, as if an unknown post-traumatic stress reaction somehow struck me. My mind began to reel. Today's Freemason isn't necessarily concerned with what we might call the foundational philosophy of Freemasonry. Those basic lessons we are taught, and exploring practical applications, reflection, and sharing are essentially ignored. What is not ignored is a seemingly glorious and romanticized past. Why would we want to write about how the level has affected us when we can talk about John Wayne? Perhaps it's easier to connect with something iconic, like a movie star of yesteryear. What is clear is that overwhelmingly Freemasonry has taken the approach of riding historic coattails to engage its members. Maybe this works. It doesn't work for me. I'm reminded of something an artist friend once told me. I make art that I want to see. And maybe it's the same for the seasoned editors of these publications. Perhaps they project what they want to see and read within those glossy thin pages. Attaching ourselves to these types of stories at times feels antiquated, and, at the same time, feels like constant pressure against new generations of Freemasons that traditionalists might even call woke. It seems antithetical to what we say we are, a progressive moral society. There's no pleasing everyone, and often the minority loses, a cognizant democracy. If the vast majority of the craft isn't into any work on the self, then I suppose it's in our best interest to continue to pander to those who enjoy the romanticized successes of yesteryear, regardless of how it would be viewed today. We are called to be happy for our brothers, and I am genuinely delighted that what's being printed in these magazines has value for them. It's also leaving out much of what the men of today are asking for. It's more than a club. It's more than a tribe to belong to. A good friend of mine recently said to me, and I agree with him, it's like if you're a Freemason and you hold the door open for a little old lady and all of a sudden you're a Supermason, a patriot. Some might think this is fine. I think perhaps this is just being a decent human being. All that matters is backpatting and self-congratulatory ego stroking. What will the Freemasons of 2060 write about if we continue this way? Are there Masonic heroes like Audie Murphy living today, Ben Franklin? Who the heck will we write about? Maybe the key will be holding out until we find ourselves in the editor roles, producing the content we most desire. Until then, I need to remind myself, and perhaps we all need a little tap on the shoulder, that Masonic content that drives engagement at any level, things that might cause someone to be more than a dues payer, is probably good content. We should be happy when our brothers are fulfilled. Good things will eventually come our way. That's it for this week. I want to thank you for joining me on this edifying journey. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'd like to thank our producers, fellows, contributors, and legacy partners for assisting us in producing this content week after week, month after month, year after year, over 10 years of content, all available for free and to anybody who would like to check it out. If you're curious on how you can help the WCY podcast, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out the options. Once more, thank you all so much. We'll see you in Kansas. And until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, girl.